All right, welcome to Toolbox Radio. We are now on episode 3, which is kind of crazy. But my name is Scott Shulman, and I'm joined, as always, by Grant Lockard. Go ahead and say hi, Grant.
Hey guys, how's everybody doing today? It is crazy, Scott. Three already. That is
I know it is going really, really fast. It's been really fun. I've enjoyed it a lot. I've learned a lot and had a blast doing it so far. So
absolutely.
Yeah, we've had two, like we said, two episodes so far, and those have been really helpful for me. And I hope that as we get the word out, it'll be helpful for other camp guys as well. So, we are going to just get right into this episode. This one is something that Grant and I are both really passionate about, really burdened about. It's about discipling summer staff. So, first thing we're going to talk about is just why. If you're a guy who is a college student, why would you choose to work at camp in the summer? There's plenty of other places you can go. You can stay home, depending on your situation. You can stay home and just do nothing all summer. You can, because you're in school all year, it's nice to have a break. You can go get a job and get paid, a good amount of money, which, I mean, if you're in college, you've got to pay for it in some way. So there's a lot of different things that you can do. Even serving at a church, doing a church internship, that's a great thing to do. And all these things are, they're not bad to do, but why would you choose camp when you have so many other options? And so we came up with a few things for why you would choose to work at camp. One of them, I think, is just the eternal impact that you can have. And when we think of that, we often think of campers. You have an eternal impact on the campers, but you also have eternal impact on the other summer staff that you're working with, and then even on yourself. Grant, did you ever like work a summer at a camp when you were like college age?
I did, and Scott, as you were talking, I think we might have to do a podcast just on
Yeah,
this, convincing counselors of
absolutely.
why they should be one. But yeah, I did it. I actually did a whole summer, and then I did a whole summer of sports, and then I also traveled all over the East Coast, just serving at different camps that were in need. So yeah,
Yeah,
this is right down my
I know
alley.
I grew up going to camp, but it wasn't until I actually worked at a camp in the summer, and this is a story for another episode, but I was forced to go. I didn't want to go. And dude, it
I'll look
changed my
forward
life. I'm
to
so glad that I had a parents and a youth pastor that said, "You know what, Scott? You're not going to want to do this, but this is the best thing for you." And I went, and it sure was changed my life. I met my wife there,
Oh.
so it was a very very good
Wow,
deal for me. So, but yeah, it's
that's
the
awesome.
eternal impact that you can have is just amazing. A few other things, we'll click them off real quick here. But the family atmosphere of camp is really fun. Even if you work at a really big camp, there will be smaller groups of people that you get to know really, really well. For me at my camp, it's like the whole camp because we're just really small. But we love that. It's tons of fun. I mean, it's a blast to work at camp. It's exhausting, but it's really, really fun. You learn how to do new things. You learn how to throw hatchets. You learn how to, go on hikes, lead hikes, take care of kids. Speaking of taking care of kids, one of the guys here at Ironwood, his name is also Scott. One of the things that he used to tell people that were coming to maybe work at camp was like, if he was talking to guys, he'd be like, "Hey, do you want to learn how to be a good dad someday?" And they would all say, "Well, yeah, of course I want to be a good dad someday." He'll be like, "Well, I'll put you in a cabin with seven junior boys, and you'll learn real fast what you should do and what you shouldn't do." And
through
it's
that.
so true because I mean I have two kids, and I it's working at camp is a really, really good way to kind of practice how to be a parent, because these little kids are asking you questions all the time and running around. You have to make sure they're safe, so that's a really good thing.
Agreed.
Two more things here real quick. As you're working at a Christian camp, there will be the camp staff that work there all year long, and they hopefully are a godly example for you. So you get these mentors and people who will disciple you in the camp staff, and that is just such an invaluable thing for you. And then there's discipleship opportunities for you as well to disciple your campers, to disciple your friends, and then to get discipled. And that's really for this episode, that's what we're going to zone in on, is how we disciple our summer staff. So any other thoughts there before we jump into that, Grant?
Yes, sir. The thought that I had real quick was the one unique thing about 3 months at camp for a summer staff is that that's your focus, and that you don't get that anywhere else, is that you're just here. At Cal, you juggle a lot, different classes, jobs, other friends, other things, home life, this, that. And so you, that, which is good.
Sure.
I'm not there. I could give you all the reasons why that is good, but I think it's unique how you can come to camp for 90 days. I focus on being just in charge of my cabin and developing friendships with other counselors. And then this is just what I live for the next days. So there's a lot of benefits, and I'm not going to go into great detail of that, but I just would say there's a lot of benefits there. So
sure. Yeah. And we'll definitely do an episode on, like, how do you do that? How do you communicate? Because we know, like, we're in camp. We know the value of how a summer really can change your life as a counselor. But sometimes it's hard to articulate that because there's so many intangible things that it's hard to communicate that. So we'll definitely do an episode on that.
Cool.
So for today, how we disciple our staff. So this is for us at Camp Grace, and then Grant's going to jump in and show us some of the stuff that they do at High Point. But what Christina, my wife, and I really try to do for our summer staff is just to truly open up our lives to them. We're trying to be honest. We're trying to be just totally real with them. You know, we're sharing what we're learning, what we're struggling with, showing them that they really can come to us anything that's on their hearts. And as long as they're willing to change and to do what's right, we will continue working with them. And so this is like our goal. This is our mission, is to show them that we love them, because we truly love them so much. And we want them to grow. We want Camp Grace to be a place where they are spiritually nourished and refreshed. And the only way you can do that is if even and honest with people that are trying to help you. If I go to somebody and they're not willing to open up and say, I have these problems that I'm struggling with, there's nothing that I can do. I can hope and pray that they will open up, but until they do that, I'm stuck. I can't really, they have to let me into their life. And I try to just be as open as possible for them to do that. And it takes like a couple of weeks at the beginning of the summer, except for the staff that know us, that have been there before, they jump in right away. But when we said, hey guys, come over to our house, you know, come over to our trailer that we live in the summer, like they didn't want to do it, because I feel like they're like, oh, well, they're busy. You know, this is their downtime. We don't want to bother them. But we had to tell them, like, point blank, like, no, really, like, we really actually want you to come over to our house in our free time. Like, I know we could be just chilling out as a family, and there's times that we do that, but we really want you to come over. So, so what are some ways, Grant, that you guys do that at your camp?
And I'm going to have to give credit to the staff here at High Point, because when I came in, this was a high importance item on their list. This is a culture driven. This drives the culture here at High Point, as the directors here are all about their counselors. So what you just said is my directors would be applauding and saying yes. So one of the things we do that's very practical is right from the get go. We have about four or five people that live on camp, adult, like married couples, and we just split the counselors up between them. And we're saying, this is your small group, and it's for spiritual, but it's also just to relax. So on the weekends when we don't have camp, we ask all of the couples to make a meal, just one, and have it, whether it be, you know, dinner on Saturday or breakfast before church. That way they're just in our homes doing something different. Mm-hmm. And we basically force them to come into our homes. During training week, being my first summer last year, I thought it was a little overwhelming at first, but then I quickly learned why. But I mean, the first two or three weeks of training, I think we scheduled four or five times for them to come in our homes, but it was because, you know, a couple of weeks later, they're not able to do that because of camp.
Right.
So we basically say, come on in, like, let's go. And the one thing that I would love to mention is this, is I've heard a lot of people say, other people are just better at this than me. Like other staffers are just better. And I've heard other camps say that to me. Well, I just don't have the personality. Like, I'm not an extrovert or I'm not this. there will be people out there that are just better. There's a guy on staff here. He's just known for this. People go over his house. He has his basement set up for it. He's going to be better. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a big but. All you have to do is genuinely want this. And your counselors will read that. I mean, my wife and I, we don't have a ton of money, but we say, here, we genuinely will care about you. We want to do something different than what you've eaten all week. Come in. And we last year, I remember one time we just did custom coffees and we bought all the drizzle for coffee and all the things you can make in a different one.
Yeah.
And even different types of teas for the girls to try and stuff like that. It was a hit. It was a slam.
Yeah.
Because we just – so I think the practice here is that you just start. And you like you mentioned about how they may be – the counselor may be reserved at first. You just got to initiate it and say, you know, get in my home. Let's talk. Like, let's just get down and genuine about it. Not this, hey, because I'm required to get one-on-one with you.
Right.
Because it's my job. It's just – I genuinely care, even though I'm nervous, but I'm going to do this with you. So let's go. Like, and it just happens. And so sometimes the other part about that is to not feel guilty when it doesn't happen, because not everybody's going to click with you. Even out of my small group, I clicked well with some people and didn't. Doesn't mean I don't care about that person. I told the people that I didn't click as well, hey, just so you know, I care about you. I'm glad to see you click with this other director or click with this counselor. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I want that. I want you to click with people. So don't feel like you're wrong because this certain person isn't clicking as well. It's part of life, personality types, everything. If you've done what you can, you're on a good starting path to impacting them.
That's really good, Grant. And I like that you mentioned that at the end, because there's so like we can either say at the beginning, oh, well, I'm just not that personality, so I can't do this. Or I'm not going to be the best at it, so why would I even try? And that's a bad way to think. And then if you are doing it and people aren't clicking with you, some people aren't, that's normal. That's fine. Like, hopefully they can connect with other people. And as long as you're getting the mission accomplished, you're doing it with a team of people, that's great. That's no problem. That's how it needs to be. No one is going to be able to click with everybody. No one is going to be able to disciple everybody. I mean,
And the final point I'd make before that we go to this next section that that we have is if you put yourself in, because I think about this a lot. If you put yourself in a 19 to 20-year-old guy's shoes or girl shoes, really what you wanted at that time in life was not like more Bible studies or more this or more curriculum.
Yeah.
You had that everywhere. Most people grew up with it.
Yeah.
What you really wanted was, man, I just want to go do something with someone who's going to speak into my life. I was a guy who was dating my wife. I was constantly looking at people's marriage. I can remember a guy named Scott in college. I just remember walking up to him, Scott, how did you do this? How did you, you know, I'm worried about this or I'm thinking this way. Am I thinking the right way? And you just learn from other people. So most – like, we got to give credit to our counselors. Most of them want to learn from us.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's crazy. That's what blows my mind. Is I've had counselors say, Grant, I want to hear from you. Like, I want your opinion. And I'll be like, no, you don't. You know what I mean? But, like, it's just – I think that's one of the things we have to tell ourselves is, hey, our counselors are here to learn too. Like, they want to know. They want to know how to grow their faith too. And, we're going to get some guys in there that aren't. And you're going to have to deal with that differently. But, man, there are some sharp people. And they want to grow. And so you got to give them the opportunity and put the time in to help them. And what a cool process. Like, that's where I feel the most blessed is that God has allowed me that opportunity to get in with them. So,
yeah. Oh, that's awesome, Grant.
My 2 cents.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay. So I want to go into just a little bit of the reason behind the way I do what I do at Camp Grace. So I don't want this to come across as like, oh, I'm bitter and angry at things that happened bad in my life. That's not the case at all. I've just seen discipleship done. I've seen it done well, and I've seen it done poorly. And here's some of the ways that I've seen it not done in the best way. So for instance, if you're trying to live up to a standard that isn't realistic, that can get really, really disheartening. So if I go through my life every day and say, okay, I have to do this, 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 and this, and I'm not relying on the Holy Spirit, I'm not relying on God's grace, I'm just trying to do it on my own, I'm going to fail every time. And it's going to get really disheartening. I can get just be like, forget it, I don't even want to try. So trying to live up to a standard that isn't realistic for me personally in my life was something that discouraged me for years and years. And then when I've been in organizations and in places where if you mess up, like if you sin and you're struggling with something, you either get heavily penalized and, you know, really beaten down, or you just get kicked out of that organization. You're like, all right, you're done. Since you messed up here, you need to leave. You need to go home. And for me, that made me want to never talk to anybody about anything that I was struggling with in my life. And I just kind of hid away and clammed up and just kind of got by and flew under the radar in different places in my life. And I wish that I was in a place that people were like, no, we know you're going to mess up. And that's not okay. That it's not like you sin whenever you want, but we know you're going to mess up. So please come to us and we want to help you through that. So I think what that comes down to is just not having any grace. And when I say that, please don't hear me saying that I want to have a camp where anyone can be sinning whatever they want and do whatever they want and living in their sin continually. What I'm saying is that we need to recognize that people will sin. And as long as they are broken by their sin and want to change to become more like Jesus, we should help them. I think we forget that we live in a broken world and we are not in heaven yet. Because if we don't help them with their sin issues, who is going to help them? Like, that's what I believe, that for me, that's what I'm here for. That's what you are there for, Grant. I think we are here to help our counselors, help our summer staff in their lives. And this you know, pushing back on doing this, I think stems from a pride that says that we really aren't that bad. I know I tend to look at other people's sin and say, oh man, that guy's sin is terrible. And then I look at my own sin and I'm like, well, mine isn't really that bad because of this, this, and this. You know, well, that's just how I was raised. Or that's just my personality. That's just who I am. But that is a horrible way to look at my life. That's a horrible way to look at others, to say your sin is bad and my sin is okay. I mean, that's the Pharisees. Like, that's exactly what Jesus was dealing with. So what we need to look at ourselves as, we need to view ourselves in the light of the gospel. We are, all of us, horrible, wretched sinners that have been saved by grace. And as such, we should do as much as we can to help other sinners who are also saved by grace. So I think viewing these college-age kids as not as, okay, I've arrived, and these kids, they don't really know what they're doing. They're just going to make my life hard because they're going to do stupid things, and I have to just, like, rein them in and, you know, make sure they're not doing really terrible things. What I want to view them as is, yeah, I do have more experience, and hopefully I am more spiritual than them just because of the place I am in my life, but we are the same. Like, my counselors are the same as me. They are sinners struggling in this fallen world. They're trying to do what's right by God's grace. And I want to, instead of saying, hey, you know, do everything that I do, I want to come alongside them and say, hey, here's how I live. Here's how God has shown me how to grow. Come with me, come alongside me and live life, you know, in the light of the gospel. So that's the route that I'm wanting to go with our camp at Camp Grace. Grant, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. And I think you're nailing it, and you can have a different philosophy. You can. And this is not a wrong, right. But I think what would be good for leaders at times to think about is sometimes the decisions you make reflect a loss on your part, like a win loss is what I'm talking about. So if I decide to send someone home because he, let's say, repeatedly, like a guy has repeatedly made a mistake with another girl, like let's say we've caught him a few times, like he was under a hammock with the girl that he should have been. Okay, let's talk about it. He did it again. All right, we're going to send you home. As a leader, I think you need to sit down and say, I lost, and recognize that some of this you take ownership of too. And it may be 100% truly on that kid, but if you take ownership of it, what you're going to show that kid is I truly care about you.
Yes.
So if I could walk a guy through, even though he drove me nuts, even though he did this, and get him to the point that he realized he was wrong and that he wants to reflect on this and grow. And as an individual, just because he messed up here doesn't mean he needs to continue. You can honestly say, man, I didn't lose in this situation. I was able to win. I was able to communicate. I was able to say to this individual, I was able to speak truth in their life. And there's going to be times where you have to send someone home, and there are. But to understand that is not my first call. That is not my initial hate.
I'm going
to threaten everybody with, you're going to go home if you don't act this way.
Yes.
It's just that you're not communicating that I truly care. What you're communicating is, if you don't do this, I don't like you, or I want you out, or this is the way, it's my way or the highway. And that just doesn't reach the millennial generation at all. So
yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah. I think that if our reaction to a staff member's sin is get out of here, I don't want you corrupting other people, I don't want you to mess up our camp, then that's wrong. I think our reaction to someone's sin should first, can I help them? How can I help them to grow and to see their sin? And sometimes the end result is, you know what? Because of your attitude, because of the gravity of the situation, you do need to go home. But even if they are repentant and like it's just a situation where they need to go home, I still want to have a relationship with that person and say, hey, let's get on the phone every week. I want to see how you're growing. I want to help you. I want to set you up with a pastor in your area that you can, you know, get counsel from. And because I love them and I want them to grow. I care about them. But we do have to sometimes we have to make those hard calls, and it's not easy. It's easy to talk about. It's not easy to carry out in real life.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it there. I'm going to make a point that I highlighted in my notes now that I think is important. I think Scott and I can give any listener a bunch of practical stuff, but it won't be as good as if you as a mentor, and this doesn't need to be done as a facility or a camp organization. This doesn't need to be a behavioral organization of yours. This might just need to be you as a person to come up with a personal, like, this is my direction with my counselors. This is what I want them to understand. And one of the things we do say here at camp, but I firmly believe it in my head, is you don't come to camp to serve us. You come to camp to serve with us. And so the reason I'm making that point is it's the way I truly think about these guys. And so I want them to hear that message and to understand that. And so I do serve with them. So there are days when I go out and I do the same things they do, the same long jobs that sometimes cleaning the toilet after 200 came, it's not that great, but I go serve with them. And so the reason I'm making this point is we could give you all the practical. It's not going to work unless you sit down and say, what do I want to convey? And so the to say that is, since we say you come to serve with us, we're down feet to feet with them, and we're not looking down on them, and we're not doing what we've been talking about the past 10 minutes. It's just not conveyed. We don't sit there and say, if you do this, you're out. No, you're coming to serve with us. So we're doing this. We're going to act the same way you are. Like we're going to role model that. So we're going to dress the way this correct way on Mondays, and we're going to dress this way, and we're going to talk this way around the campers. And so we want to role model that for you guys and you to do it with us too. And so we want to do it together as a team. So I think that is an important part for youth leaders, for camp directors, for counselors to understand. If you come up with a personal motto, slogan, mission statement of how I'm going to live out this summer, it will change you as a director to say, this is what I'm going to convey to my counselors. I want them to hear this daily. So
that's really good, Grant. I think just taking all this information and then making it work for you, you know, like making it your own and owning it is that's crucial. That's really good. Okay. So our last section here is just how I want to actively change the culture at my camp. Culture is everywhere, and as a leader, you have the opportunity to change it. You have that opportunity to change the culture at your camp or at your organization, wherever you're at. So we live in a fallen world. I think we really, I've said that several times, but I think we need to remember that. And sin is pervasive. It's everywhere. So because of that, let's not ignore it. Let's not ignore sin, because that's definitely a tendency to, if someone messes up, like, I don't want to know about that. And let's also not just totally lose our minds when we see it. Let's deal with it biblically. I want to deal with sin in a biblical way. I want to be able to come home at the end of the day and be refreshed in my home. But my summer staff also need a home for the 10 weeks that they're with me. So I want them to really feel like my home is their home. Now, there need to be limits for sure. Like, I don't want them just to come up, you know, knock on my door at 3 a.m. be like, hey, let's hang out. Like, obviously, like, we need limits. So what we've done at my house is whenever our light is on outside our trailer, the staff can come up. And we really mean this. We want them to feel at home with us. We want them to just raid the fridge, turn on the TV, get some snacks, talk with us. That is what I want for them. And some of them will feel bad because they're like, oh, I don't want to take your food. And I'm like, no. Like, that's what I do. I purposely buy more snacks and more soda and all that stuff in the summer because I want them to feel like, oh, well, there's plenty here, so I can take some and it's not a big deal. That's part of my ministry. And then as we are just living with each other, good conversations come up. It's natural. It's not at all forced. Like you said, you know, some there'll be like a program, like, okay, well, I'm assigned as your mentor, so I guess we got to hang out and we got to talk and let's go have a meeting and make it all real formal. And it's really awkward. And it's like, I don't even know you. Why are we doing this? I'm not going to really, because no one's going to really share their heart with someone that they don't know, that they've just been assigned to. You know, maybe you'll say a few things like, you know, you're supposed to say, but you're not really breaking down any barriers until you get into their life and you listen to them and you get to know what they like, you know, what they're doing in their stage of life. So as we're getting to know each other, good conversations are just going to come up. Christina has the girls up to the trailer and makes coffee for them on their break. So just like you said, you guys got some fancy coffee stuff. That's exactly what my wife did. Well, she's been doing it for 2 or 3 years now. And she has so many good talks with them during this time. And the counselors love it. The counselors, all of our staff get a 1 hour break every day. So the counselors have their break at the same time. And the girls will just go up to the trailer and they'll drink coffee and just have a great time with her. And that's awesome. So for the guys, I take them on a drive one-on-one. I try to take each one of my guys on a drive every week. It doesn't always happen every single week, but that's my goal. And we just drive around. We have a beautiful scenery all around us. There's some fun places to go. On one of my drives, I have a Subaru Outback, and I tested the limits of it and got it stuck somewhere. The guy had to come and get us out with a truck, which was another story. But we had a great time, and we were like, well, I guess we're walking back. So we had a great talk on the walk back. And nice. And so, yeah, we just, you know, rolled with it and whatever. But those conversations that I have with my guys, they're intentional. And it's like, it can feel formal sometimes, but I've already developed, I hope, enough of a relationship with each of these guys that they're like, oh yeah, like I'm just going on my drive with Scott. It's no big deal. And I've had some very deep conversations doing that. So that's what I do in the summer. And then I try to keep up with my summer staff throughout the year. So just like I tell, you know, my counselors, like, hey, you have your campers for 1 week. They're at their church for the other 51 weeks of the year. So we really try to set them up with their youth pastors and stuff for decisions that they've made. And so, 'cause they'll be able to help them for their other 51 weeks. I have my summer staff for 10 weeks. And for the most part, they're away from me for the other 42 weeks. So it's spotty, and we don't always keep up like I wish we could, but it's something. Like, I try to text my guys once a week and do phone calls with them. I've been trying to call one of my guys, and we've just missed each other for the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks. So I'll try to get in contact with him soon. But that's something that – so a few things that I like to do to disciple my summer staff. So any practical things that you do, Grant? I know you said you have them over and, you know, you did the coffee thing, which is awesome. I love that idea.
Yeah. And we do, and we just enjoy that. The few practical steps that I would give right at the end of this one that are just, they're just crazy easy, in my opinion. The first thing I constantly think about, and you mentioned it, is if you as a leader can think of things that you need on your breaks, consider this, your counselors probably need the same thing. So for example, you mentioned drinks. I did it at one point last year. It was one of those weeks in PA, we don't get them a lot. You get the 100 plus degrees, 1 or 2 days. We had about a 2 weeks window, hot,
ooh,
crazy hot. Yeah. Everything you touched was hot. And I just can remember being like, I want more than water. I want power. You know, like, you just
yeah.
wanted that. Like, you look forward to it. So I remember one time walking into my fridge and being like, I bet you there's a good chance that my counselors will want the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I just remember running out to Walmart and I did two things. One, I froze a bunch. And then the second thing is I actually got a smaller fridge and put it in the hallway of my house and said, no matter what, at any time, just walk in, grab this on your break. Exactly.
That's
what you
awesome.
Said.
That's awesome.
And then at one point I went up right as most kids were asleep already. And I told them before, I told them about 20 minutes before, I'm going to walk out your door, drop a purple Gatorade, and I got more thank yous than you could believe.
Yeah.
Just because that was their 2 minutes of cold. You know, they felt it. They could drink it. It was different than water. It was different than what was in the dining hall. And yeah. it's just an extremely encouraging. The second thing is make sure you give your opportunity for your counselors to get away. We like to do it. We do a weekend where we take our small groups that I told you about and get away. We tell them, like, if you have a car, don't be afraid on the weekends to go see areas around here. Because just like us as leaders, we need time to get away too.
Sure.
And we try and do it with them. But so I took a crew into Philadelphia, which is like an hour from us, on a Saturday and one time, and did exactly what you just said and got them away from camp too. Even though our camp is awesome and a lot of our counselors stay because it's like, why not lay on the lake?
Yeah.
And you know, take kayaks out by ourselves because that's fun for us to do too. But make sure you allow them time to get away. The last thing I would say that I found is important is to read signs. To be constantly looking for signs. I remember a guy that in college did this for me. He was my youth pastor, but he was my youth leader. And he was a finance guy. And every once in a while, he would drive by my school. And anytime he did this, he would take me into a grocery store and just tell me a number. Hey, you can spend this much number. I mean, this much money. And so I just decided in my life, I'm going to learn from this guy's name was Steve Stevens. And I said, I'm going to take his notes and I'm going to do it myself because those would be huge for me when I was in college. So I remember a guy last year as I said, hey, $15. I don't care what you spend it on.
Yeah.
I'm giving you $15. I just want you to spend 15.
Yeah.
And I made a joke. If you go over 15, I'll slap you. If you don't, you know, I like made a joke. No lie. All hygiene objects.
Nice.
No drinks.
Yeah.
Bought all fresh pack of underwear, I believe it was, deodorant and all that. So all of a sudden on the drive home, I just decided to ask him. I just said, dude, like, did you need that stuff? Or was it just like you wanted nicer stuff? And he's like, nah, I needed this stuff.
Huh.
I read the sign.
Yeah.
Like, the kid, and I didn't get deep with him because I didn't want to. I mean, I got deep with him later on. I didn't press there.
Right.
Because, that's an uncomfortable place to take.
Yeah.
But I read the sign and just the rest of the summer would walk up to him and say things in his ear like, do you have this stuff?
Yeah.
Because I don't want you uncomfortable at camp. Like, I want you, you're serving with us. So read the signs. Like, if a kid, if you know you can hit him where something he needs. And I remember I ran out and got one of those combo packs of deodorants and combo packs of stuff. And I remember one time him saying, a toothbrush would be nice. How much is a toothbrush?
Yeah.
So, and some kids, it won't be that simple, or it won't be, you know, some kids have the money for all that, but the signs may be, they're easily emotional. I remember a girl this past summer that was easily emotional, and we learned that home life she just had, and it was a great home life, but a father was sick and battling. And so it was constant prayer every time we got together.
Yeah.
And we gave her time. We're like, don't worry, call your parents and talk for an hour every weekend.
Yeah.
Invest back into your dad. Your dad probably wants to hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I taught her, like, you know, call your dad and tell her every high point of every you know, low and high of what went on in camp this week, because then he's going to love that. Mm. So if you read the signs that counselors give you, super easy.
Yeah.
Don't make it rocket. Don't make this rocket science. Just read the signs and act on it. And it will take care of itself is what I'm trying to say.
That's fantastic.
If you're just willing, it will. Yeah. If you're willing, it will take care of itself.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so good, Grant. Like I love how simple that is. But just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. You know, you gotta be disciplined and do it. But so much in life and in the Christian life specifically is so simple. You know, rely on God's grace. You know, ask Him for grace. Yep. Like, well, that's simple, but it's not easy. It's easy to be proud and to say, ah, no, I don't need it. I'm okay. I'm good on my own. But the reality. Need it, and these tips, man. That's stuff I'm going to implement this summer. That's really, really good. Go ahead.
No, I want you to go ahead and finish. I want you to finish.
Oh, I just love the take someone out and give them a dollar amount they can spend. Like that's so simple to do, and it's easy. Like you just hey, spend $20. You know, spend $10. Like that's because when someone does that for you, especially at that stage of life when you have nothing. It's so helpful and encouraging, and you have no idea what they're going to buy, and that can lead to a really good conversation later.
I remember a kid last year that he didn't even do the $15. He walked right in the back, grabbed IBC root beer.
Yeah.
He just said, I drink this stuff all the time. And he's like, that's all I want. I said, dude, awesome. You sure? And he said, yeah, I just want it. And he went back, got ice from the refrigerator, from our dining hall.
Yeah.
And I remember watching him. He just poured it in a glass and drank his IBC root beer. And I just was – I was as happy as could be,
yeah,
because he didn't take advantage of me, and not everybody will.
Right, right.
I think the one thing that I have changed in my thinking, and Scott, you've taught me even in this, is maybe I should be texting my guys outside of camp. I don't do that as well because I'm so focused.
Yeah,
but maybe I should take time every week to say text them, remember birthdays and things like that. So you've even taught me. But the one thing that I've changed my thought process a lot on this, especially in camp, but I learned it probably coaching. Is that I don't have to – we always consider the word leadership as like, that's what we got to be. We got to be a leader. I got to be a leader today, which is good. But at the same time, I just got to be a role model. Mm. Like being a role model is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like all I got to do is role model Christ. All I got to do is love people. Love God and love people. If I role model that, I'm a success.
That's good.
In my leadership, if I make a bad budget decision, okay. Like, but if I'm a great role model – I'm doing something for Christ.
That's right.
Like, I don't have to lead huge culture changes. I don't have to lead this. Those are things that we put on the plate, which are great. I'm not trying to say they're bad. But I don't know if we need to become obsessed with that. I'd rather become obsessed with being a role model for these to impact these people, to serve these counselors.
Absolutely.
So if that's what I'm doing, then consider me a success.
Yeah.
Because that's all I need to do at the end of the day. So I think if we just kind of – tap the brakes once in a while and say, these people are people, so I'm going to invest time into them. Hmm. We're going to do great.
Yeah.
That's all that's needed. So
that's really good, Grant. Yeah. It's simple, but it's hard to live out. So,
and you just got to do it. It's what you said earlier. It's just the discipline of doing it.
Sure. Yep. So yeah, well, we're trying to convey here just as a wrap up is people are the most important part of camp. Like that is why we do camp for the campers, but also for our summer staff.
Amen. Amen.
And so we love our summer staff so much, and we want them to grow and to feel like open up to us about anything that they're struggling through. So we want to help them grow to be more like Christ as we are growing to be more like Him. And like you said, just be a role model. And, you know, Paul said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Like let's all just follow Christ together. And we, you know, Grant, you and I are in positions where we're older than all of these, you know, people that are coming and working for us. And I love your phrase that, you know, I don't hire you to work for us. I hire you to work with us. I love that, serving with us. That's something I want to implement in my camp for sure. So, yeah, so this was a great episode. I really, for me, has been helpful to talk through this stuff with you. Something we're both super passionate about, and we'll pick it up next week. So next week we're going to be going back to some more of the fun parts of camp, Not that this isn't fun, but it's a little more serious. And next week we're going to be talking about skits. So
skit
where,
night, baby.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good. We're going to be corny. We're going to be lame in some ways, I'm sure, to some people. But that's about all we have. To contact us, you can contact me at scott@campgrace.org, and you can contact Grant at grant@hpcamp.org. And until next time, just keep serving your church as well, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Say goodbye, Grant.
See you next time. Bye.
See you.